This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning. My apologies for not being able to join you absolutely at the start of proceedings, but I'd like to thank you for the invitation to speak at this event and for the opportunity to outline the government's vision for providing services for victims and witnesses in the criminal justice system. As the Parliamentary Under-Secretary of State for Criminal Justice, my ministerial portfolio includes prisons, probation, youth justice, as well as victims and witnesses. So I have responsibility not only for the penal system and the rehabilitation of offenders, but also for those on the other side of the crime, for those who have been personally affected. And having responsibility for both these strands of criminal justice is a constant reminder that the government's policy for sentencing and offender management must serve the needs of victims and witnesses. The rehabilitation of offenders and the needs of victims and witnesses should not be treated as two isolated strands of policy. Not only does improved rehabilitation reduce the number of future victims, but caring for victims reduces the harms to individuals and society that results from crime. And putting the victim more centrally in our thoughts and policy is necessary, as our system does not do this by design. We have in this system, in our country, a system of common law which pits the accused against the state. And unlike in some civil law systems, victims and their families are not automatically a party to a criminal trial. The state brings the charges, the state prosecutes the accused, and the state ensures the sentence is carried out. And this does not mean that a victim or their family should be excluded. We ought to be operating a system where we do things with, not to, victims. So we will shortly be publishing a green paper to set out our plans for reforming sentencing and rehabilitation. And this is an opportunity to create a new compact between the justice system and victims and witnesses. By thinking through the process in a way we can ensure the rights of victims and witnesses are strengthened, that we provide them with greater opportunities to be heard, and that the system recognises the harm caused by crime. The Coalition is making no assumptions about what works best in supporting victims and witnesses. We will take the time to listen and to learn from those who know. We will work with Louise Casey, the recently appointed Victims Commissioner, to ensure that the views of victims and witnesses are at the front and centre of our thinking. We will work with charities and voluntary groups who support victims at the local level to ensure that plans can be effectively delivered, and we will work with colleagues in other government departments to ensure that services for victims and witnesses are truly joined up across government. And we do understand that it is often the grassroots organisations who know best how to support the victims of crime. Local communities, voluntary organisations, and local agencies have responsiveness and an expertise that can never be matched by central government. They are the big society that the Prime Minister and the government are so committed to. So we hope to hand more responsibility, more power and more flexibility to these groups. We hope to give them the freedom to deploy their services as needed and to target those deeply affected by crime. And we will do this while reducing the cost of the justice system overall, playing our part in reducing the deficit. As I'm sure you are all aware, the Chancellor will shortly announce our settlement as part of the comprehensive spending review, and the real work will then begin in ensuring that we improve services to the public, to victims and witnesses, while also making the cost savings that we must deliver. Our challenge will be to improve all aspects of our service to victims and to do more with less. The government recognises the extraordinary commitment made by criminal justice service staff and volunteers to support victims and witnesses, and it's clear that this commitment has achieved real results. We can be proud of the foundations of our justice system, even if we are critical of some of the details. And the commitment displayed on the front line is echoed in government. This is a cross-party agenda, with many of the reforms that have benefited victims and witnesses being introduced before even the last government. The Criminal Justice Act 1988 introduced for the first time the possibility of victims and witnesses giving evidence by TV link. This spared some vulnerable victims the ordeal of having to stand in a formal court setting, and it spared them the trauma of having to face the accused whilst giving difficult, painful personal evidence. The Royal Commission on Criminal Justice, reporting in 1993, highlighted the need for separate waiting areas for witnesses in court and the need for effective witness support schemes. And since then, many courts up and down the country have introduced separate areas to allow witnesses to wait to be called, free from the fear of harassment and intimidation from offenders and their families. And since the report, the Witness Service, run by Victim Support, has been running in courts, helping witnesses understand the procedures of court by offering pretrial visits, explaining the procedures, and providing support and reassurance on the day. This invaluable service has the highest rate of satisfaction in feedback from witnesses on their experience through the criminal justice system. And without the Witness Service and the witness care units offering this dedicated support to witnesses, justice would not be done. The reduction in cracked and ineffective trials is testament to the value of these services. In 1994, the Criminal Justice and Public Order Act made it an offence to intimidate victims, witnesses, and jurors punishable by 5 years imprisonment. And more recent legislation has given trial judges the power to grant anonymity to witnesses. Witnesses who fear for their safety will continue to be given every possible protection. And in 1996, the government piloted victim impact statements, a scheme which allowed victims to tell the court about the harm caused by the crime, giving them a voice in proceedings for the first time. This scheme, now called the Victim Personal Statement, has since been rolled out nationally and is available to all victims of crime. In the last 20 years, great strides have been made to improve the position of victims and witnesses in the system. However, we can and we will do better. There are areas to build upon and an opportunity to rethink the way we support victims. So I am prioritising the following areas: ensuring that sentencing is clear to victims, witnesses and the public, ensuring that victim-led restorative justice and financial reparation are integral to the system, not just afterthoughts, ensuring that victims are given a greater voice in the criminal justice process, and ensuring that support is targeted, delivered by those who know best how to do it, and address local need, not national targets. The government will shortly consult on a new sentencing framework. A chief objective of reform will be that sentencing makes sense to victims, witnesses, and the public. When a person has the courage and gives up the time to appear in court, they deserve to know exactly what punishment the offender will receive, and they should have confidence that it will be carried out. And we hope to achieve a sentencing framework that is transparent, honest, and fair, so that victims can see justice being done. We are committed to restorative justice, encouraging offenders to make amends with victims and make reparation to the local community. And we are already working with the Restorative Justice Consortium, Victim Support, and other groups to try and make this an integral part of the criminal justice system. And we will give victims and local people the chance to decide how offenders make amends and are exploring the role that neighbourhood crime and justice panels could play in this. We will promote restorative justice to avoid the needless criminalisation of some young people, where all a victim really wanted was an apology and a commitment not to repeat the behaviour. By bringing the offender and victim into contact, we hope that the real human cost of crime can be brought home to these young people at an early stage, and that an understanding of the consequences of their actions will prevent future offences. So we are looking at the experience we have gained in Northern Ireland with a view then to introducing it across the rest of the United Kingdom. Most of all, though, we will ensure that the victims believe that this way of addressing offending was what was best for them. The programme of restorative justice must be and will be led by the wishes of the victims. We're also exploring new options of increasing the financial reparation paid to offenders, either directly to victims or to cover the cost of support services. And as you may have heard in the Secretary of State's recent speech to the Conservative Party conference, we are looking at how best to implement the Prisoner Earnings Act of 1996. there is an opportunity for far more paid work to be undertaken by prisoners, which we must seize. And I am determined that an economic return from prison labour will be used to make a contribution to funding victim services. Next year, we will put forward proposals for extending the victim surcharge to the full range of sentences, not just fines. And in the case of more serious crimes, we will explore options for increasing the level of the surcharge. The revenue from the surcharge will go directly to supporting victims. Moving on to the victim personal statement. Giving victims a greater voice in the criminal justice system must be a core aim of our reform plans. The victim personal statement goes some way towards addressing that, but there is too much confusion about its role at the moment. I want to see a better understanding of and a greater use of the VPS throughout the system. There can be a temptation, if victims are not heard in court, to deal with crime in an impersonal and academic way. Victims must be offered this opportunity to tell the court the personal consequences of the crime. And the criminal justice system needs to be aware that offences are not just statistics in the British Crime Survey, but they affect real people, real communities, and have a real impact on everyday lives. And I'm exploring how the victim's account of the harm caused by crime can be used by sentencing judges and magistrates to determine the seriousness of an offence and therefore the severity of the sentence. I am reviewing how we can strengthen the role of the victim's personal statement in sentencing and to embed it within the criminal justice system. These changes to the framework and direction of criminal justice policy are complemented by a change in the way we will look to commission services. The government believes in the principle that local people are best placed to decide on the services they need, best placed to set the priorities, and best placed to deliver them effectively. And with this in mind, we intend to put forward proposals for victim services to be locally commissioned, allowing areas to target support where it is most needed. And to do this, we need to see an end to central government's micromanagement, an end to the constant demand for statistics, an end to Whitehall's nervousness about trusting local people to respond to local needs. We will ensure these services are held accountable by local people by giving them the information they need to challenge providers and commissioners. And this locally led model will also ensure that the services are targeted at those who need them most. Louise Casey, the Victims Commissioner, has already made the point that our resources must be targeted more effectively at those who have a genuine need for specialist services and not the approximately 80% of victims who do not want or need support from the state, or indeed for that matter from any other source. And while many people do prefer to be supported by their friends, families and communities, there will always be those who have suffered gravely from crime. It is these people who want or need specialist support that we should concentrate on. The government has identified a gap in provision in supporting rape victims, and that's why we've committed to building new rape crisis centres, providing stable funding to those which already exist. We will work with communities to increase their ability to support victims of crime, and we will support victims and witnesses to tackle crime and antisocial behaviour, safe in the knowledge that the criminal justice system is on their side and not that of the offender. This is a time of profound change in the way we deal with crime, sentencing and rehabilitation. And it is critical that we do not lose sight of the needs of victims and witnesses. We must ensure that they are at the centre of any changes made. In order to deliver truly fair and supportive reforms, we need to understand how all those aspects of criminal justice affect victims and witnesses of crime. And for these reforms, I want a new compact between the criminal justice system and victims and witnesses. In recognising that they have been harmed by crime and that some have played their role in bringing the offender to justice, they should be able to expect certain things from the system. They should expect to be offered a greater say in how offending is resolved through restorative justice. They should expect to know that the offender will be made to pay financially. They should expect the sentence to be clear, fully carried out, and to reflect the harm caused to them by the crime. And they should expect that those who need support will receive it, and that the services are there to meet the needs of their community. I want to put a stop to the current perception that victims and witnesses are somehow supplementary to the criminal justice system, that we do things to witnesses or despite them. We need to start working with victims and witnesses. We need to strengthen and embed their rights in the process. And in doing so, we will help restore the public's faith in the criminal justice system. Thank you very much.